Warning, the host of this podcast has a penchant for the pontification of puns and an altruistically alienating affection for alliteration. If you suffer weak constitution or get annoyed easily, you may want to seek prior medical advice or avoid this particularly perplexing podcast as the host is unbalanced as a washer full of shoes. Salutations, stoners. Welcome to another installment of the Chronic Insomnia Podcast, your dosing of dope jackpot here, bringing you another story from the industry, from all sides. I'm here with Brett Puffenbarger. I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself. So, Brett, thank you for being on the show. Let the people know who you are and what you do.
So right now, I am the director of digital marketing and sales integration for a company called Vanguard Scientific, but I'll actually be leaving there in the next couple of weeks and founding my own company. The shortest answer is I've been in the cannabis space about 5 years. Before that, I was a Harley salesman, and before that, I was in the Marine Corps. So, I bring a slightly different approach to the cannabis space than I think a lot of people do. I'm a big fan of using my little tagline, bridging the gap from bong to boardroom, because I think everybody knows there's a whole lot of chads that have come into the industry and ruined it. But then on the other side of that, there's a whole lot of legacy players that just haven't quite figured out that this is a consumer packaged good. Right. So I think, the truth of the industry moving forward is going to be somewhere kind of in the middle.
I agree, and that's one of the reasons what I wanted to talk about, and I think it definitely does have something to do with the military aspect. Like, what was your MOS?
So I was an MP, but I never actually got to do any of the cool like cop stuff. Never once wore a badge. Never once got to do like, hey, come in the gate. Never got to drive a cool car with cop lights. None of the cool stuff. I got sent straight to Iraq a couple of times, doing like a machine gunner type deal, route security and EOD security. So I definitely did not get any of the stateside experience of the military.
That's definitely interesting. I can relate. I was 0352, so I was a tow gunner. Went to Iraq. Of course, they don't have tanks, so you don't need anti-tank. So
yeah, what good
are you
guys?
The streets with a machine gun. We did pit teams, like police transition, because they were breaking everything down. So like we taught them how to patrol and shit like that. So I could definitely relate to the whole going in for one thing and not doing it at all, yet still doing something, you know.
Yeah, they figure out what they want you to do real fast. No, yeah. We did pit teams. We did MIT teams. We did a lot of EOG security and babysitting of people with real job skills, because they figured anybody with a machine gun was good enough, CBs, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, you know how to shoot a gun, you can shoot a machine gun. Like, it's the same basic fucking science.
Here you go. Point over there. You'll figure the fuck out, man. Like, you'll
look out for that van, you know? So definitely it is, and it's refreshing. And I think at this point in the industry, the way everything's going between the culture and the black market and the legal market and all this, I think somebody just needs to say, all right, this is what we did. This is what we have to do. Shut the fuck up. Like, it's like, yes, some of us broke the law. Yes, some of us, lied or cheated. Yes, some of us are working for a noble cause. But you know what? Like, this is what it is now. Obviously, for the last 50 years, people have been lying about it because it doesn't fucking kill you. Like, pen caps kill more people every year than fucking cannabis. I've never seen anybody eat a baby. You know, yeah.
My favorite's baby powder. Baby powder kills 11 people a fucking year.
Right.
It is more like this, the most harmless substance. The thing we spray on our infant.
The infant, like, their most sensitive parts. Yeah.
Right. Bingo. I think it goes both ways, though. You know what I mean?
It does.
Even for the crowd that's like, cool, whatever, like, I think the industry side of it, we've seen, I hate to get super like meta with it, but like, we're a boom economy. We're not that fucking different from, the dot-com boom, the gold rush before that. Everybody who is, you know what I mean? Like, we've attracted a certain level or a certain kind of people into the industry that, for lack of a better term, are kind of ruining it. And they're ruining it for all of the people who built it. You know what I mean? Like, we're an industry built on advocacy and created through activism by a bunch of crazy stoners when nobody
collective
fucking cared.
Cooperatives. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it became everybody has to have an MBA. And now we're talking like these advanced economic models. And it's just not true. You know what I mean? Like, the stuff they've built, like I said this on a podcast the other day, a lot of chads, whatever, derogatory term we want to use for people with suits.
You use that. I'm gonna love your terminology. This is gonna be fun. Yeah.
So like, there's a whole lot of them, and we all know who they are. And I'm not saying all of them are bad. There are plenty of need in the cannabis space for business acumen, for advanced scientific understanding, for lawyers, for accountants, for real estate guys. Like, sure, by all means. But on the other side of that, we have a whole bunch of these people who have come in and they built an industry just trying to mimic another industry. And I think everybody's exactly. seen like the movie The Big Short or something, when there's mm-hmm. like a few select people who are part of the group, but are going like, hey, we're fucking up. I feel like I'm kind of in that chunk of my life right now, where I'm sitting here looking back and going, guys, we all saw the bubble popping in 2018, yet you guys all kept raising money and now you're all out your ass to every investor on the planet. And you see it kind of going across the industry. There's all these people going, well, capital dried up in cannabis. No, the fuck it didn't. Capital got smart in cannabis and they got tired of the, you know, the chads, the real estate brokers, the the specific group of bad actors that have
the trending market, you know.
Yeah. Right. And they all kind of take this same bullshit approach of like, oh, it's weed, it'll sell itself.
Right.
Really, guys?
It doesn't matter where it comes from. You can just buy, you know, you can buy the most for the least and put it on the shelves, or you can just extract. Oh, we can extract. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, there can be like the food service industry. You can have a certain amount of rat feces and still sell the food. No, like, I don't want a certain amount of fucking mites or bug carcasses or botrytis, you know, in my, just because you extract it out.
Zero is the answer.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They called it trash to cash in the early 2000s. That's what they called it on the West Coast. It was trash to cash. We'll grow whatever the fuck we want. It doesn't matter if it's moldy, nasty, low THC, bad genetics. Cool. Blast that shit with butane and figure it out. Put it in a cartridge, slap a pretty brand on it and call it a day. That's all going away. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we are no longer in that fucking market where it's just, well, could I have the highest THC indica you got? Like, no, man. No. Like, the average cannabis patient now knows the word terpene.
Exactly. They ask for analytics. Like, they want the numbers. And not just the numbers on the strain. Like, they want batch numbers. You know, like, they want to know when this was harvested because they have access to that. Absolutely.
And I think they deserve it.
Like, oh, yeah.
If we want to call it just like a flat bottom line, A, we've got news reports coming out every day of XYZ testing lab was funded by the same fund that created the cannabis company, was funded by the same company that funded the data firm. So like, the same few core group of investors created data firms to fake a market, to then raise money on companies who then created testing companies to fake their way through. It's ludicrous.
Well, that's ridiculous. And that's, but that's not the industry. That's not the movement. That's a few individuals, and that's states. That's the government, because there's no national regulation. There's no organization saying this is where you have to go for testing. There's no organization saying this is how you advertise. This is how you regulate, you know? So that's, I think there's no policing of our own. And I think, like, we have to admit, hey, you know, yes, like with the carts and the stuff in the beginning and all of that, it served a purpose. It was fucked up, but it served a purpose. And we've learned in and out of the industry, in both sides, however you've done it, or however, you know, whatever your experience is, sometimes you have to break the law. Sometimes you have to lie. Sometimes you have to embellish. You know, it's the first one's free type deal. Like, and that's we did it, you know, like, just own the fuck up to it. We've pushed our way through. This is where we're at now. Like, we've had to fight dirty because they've been fighting dirty. Like, everything that has ever been said on a main scale, used as you know, precedence or evidence or backing up or legitimacy of a claim, has all been basically bullshit about it over the last, you know, 40 years.
For sure.
So yeah, we've had to fudge some details. We've had to do what we've had to do to you know, to give something that will literally cure cancer to the fucking people.
Yet a very few select group have figured out how to set it up to be the ones who profit off of it. It's kind of a weird, broken system where you almost have to go along with it. And then you can kind of eventually sit back. I don't know. I'm kind of at that point where I think we're at a place with mainstream acceptance where we don't have to accept bullshit in either direction. Right. We don't have to accept the legacy market, like, lack of quality. And we don't have to accept the corporate cannabis bullshit either. We don't have to accept forced vertical integration. We don't have to accept fudged testing results. We don't have to accept, you know, this race to the bottom on price. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell is that? Why is it every state is pushing to the bottom? It's like, you guys do realize you're all racing to zero, right?
And that's what it's like here. Like, 'cause I just left Florida a couple of months ago. I think I just got here in October, but I was at Fluent. Like, I saw that you had worked there. You left right before I got there in 2018. So right after they went from Knox into Fluent, like, I was
when right, I got right on that. There, I think there were 11 employees. And it was like me from Harley Davidson, a guy from Disney, and a real estate agent basically making it up as we went and going right. like, okay, this is how, and I'll be real frank, and I haven't said this a whole lot publicly, but like, I left that company because they were a compliance nightmare. And when I left, seven of us left at the same time. Seven of us, seven people in one day all went, hey, what's and it wasn't just like in retail. It wasn't just the cultivators. It wasn't just the extract. It was people from every chunk of this massive vertical giant in the making going, yo, that's wrong.
And it was because it was a consortium. It was because it was that vertical integration. I know the last 6 months that I was there, because there was a mass exodus from like 2019 to 2020, where it was every other week, every few weeks, four or five people are just gone. They've either been dropped or they've left, or, you know, for whatever reason, because the last 6 months, the CEO stepped down, the CFO stepped down. We lost these investors. So we got new investors, but it was like investors from Europe or from South America or from Canada. So it's every week we've got somebody else coming in, dropping, you know, they drop the most money. So they make the rules that week. So like, we're doing this thing 1 week and this is how we're doing production. This is how we're doing labeling. And then some dude with a fucking cravat comes in and everything fucking, nope, we got to do it different. But in Florida, the way it is, like, you want, we wanted to change, you know, a letter in the name or the color of the fucking lettering, had to go through the entire process again, like reapplying for the labeling.
I feel like people outside retarded. Of Florida don't realize how terrible Florida is
because Governor
for everyone.
Moby.
Like for everyone, for patients, for advocates, for small businesses, for people inside of the big businesses, fuck, for the people running the big businesses. Most of them are cashing in, but it sucks.
It was made that way. I mean, like I call him Governor Moby, but Rick Scott designed the program because initially in 2014, it just failed with 57% because democracy is 60-40. So just because you didn't get like, you got 57% of the vote. No. So he retooled the entire system like he did the unemployment system. So it is purposefully made to drive a wedge between the business, the patient, the consumer, the state. It's made. I mean, like you know the system. It's like almost $100,000 to get a license, but that's not even it. You have to apply to get a chance at an opportunity to get looked at for a review to get an opportunity to get your license.
100 G's, have $5,000 in the bank, find a nursery that's been around for 20 years or something.
Here's the five different zoning laws.
Yeah, find, you know, this, that, and the other. The application process looks like a freaking doctoral thesis, whereas you can go to Oklahoma and it's a page. Like literally, it's six.
There's one boxes. Dispensary for every 56 patients in the state.
Like, I mean, that could be its own bad thing, maybe in the end. And it, but at least they gave the opportunity.
Right.
At least it's not. You know, what was it? The first 3 years of Florida, we had four fucking licenses. We had eight. Now we have 11. 300,000 patients. 11 companies actually putting out product.
Right.
Question.
And some of them are like, some of them are one location and they don't even, you know, they don't even cover the full state. And there's some of the better ones, like One Plant, some of the best flower that I've gotten in the state. And they've got a 50-mile radius in Central Florida, you know,
even they are their own, whatever you want to call it, shit show of weirdness. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they've gone through executive changes. They've gone through naming conventions. They've switched products out. Mm-hmm. Like it's. I don't know.
It's because I think at this point now we need, and I was at that Emerge conference and they were talking about basically one of the topics was like, was national nomenclature. Like, what do we call this and this? And, you know, on just like a, you know, a national scale to get everything unified. And I think that's where we all need to focus next. Like, yes, there's products and there's the innovation. Like there will always be innovation. There will always be new products. We're always going to discover new cannabinoids and new terpenes and their uses and all this shit. But I think now that, you know, there's what, like four or five states that don't have something in the books. Everything basically, else does like it passed through the House or it's, you know, it's coming up again in Congress and shit. So I think now we need to talk about not waiting, like, yes, advertising and the marketing and that stuff, radio and all that we can talk about after everything is done. But now that they're talking about, you know, the legalization, the decriminalization, you know, taking off the schedule, we need to start talking about how are we going to run this shit on a national level? Because a lot of the big companies are going to do really good because they're going to liquidate the majority of their facilities. Because they're not going to need to have a lab and a cultivation facility and a processing facility and a distribution facility all in the same state. They're going to need a couple of distribution facilities and franchise everything else out. They're going to be able to liquidize millions of dollars of real estate and equipment and set everything up like a national multi, you know,
traditional consumer. And what is it? Consumer and producer state economics.
Exactly.
Holy shit. Who would have thought? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's call it like it is. The best pot's grown in the Green Triangle. We all know it is. It's going to continue to be grown there, and it can continue to be grown there at massive scale. We also know that East Coast cities consume more than anybody else. The economics are already
there, dude.
Yeah, right? Like, the economics are already there in the black market. And it looks like if you really want to like get real spicy with it and you step back and you look at the current models that the largest cannabis companies have set up, they're all acting as if it's not coming.
Right.
Except for maybe Tilray / Aphria and their merger. But that to me looks like, you know, death throes to try to save and cut money, not survive or, you know, plan for the future.
And it's not like it's a quiet thing. I mean, this stuff is talked about, especially now with social media. Anything that ever happens is out there everywhere. So, like, if you follow it, you see the mistakes, the history, the, you know, what's coming, what's been happening, things like that. So it's not like it's new territory. And I mean, like, it fought through so much pushback to get where it is today. I mean, like, just learn from your mistakes or look back. Or let the people who know what they're doing fucking do it. I love, you know, with the Last Prisoner Project and all this stuff, and you know, the longest prisoner just got released in Florida, because of course everything's shitty and negative in Florida. Oh God, I'm so glad to be. Yeah. All right. So that's, you know, there's a lot of hope, there's a lot of positivity and a lot of recognition of kind of, but there's no out and out saying, all right, we fucked up. You know, it was a mistake.
Ever.
You know, like, they're letting people go or they're expunging records. And, you know, that's great. But I think there just needs to kind of be like a conference or just something at some point where it's just kind of like an address saying, yes, there have been rumors or lies or fabrication or something. A mistake has been made, you know, and we recognize that even if we're not taking direct blame, it has been made. And we recognize that. Let's move forward from there, because then we can all be like, fuck, let's just go. All right. Let's just get this shit done with.
Yeah, man. I wish. I feel like we're in one of those things where the government will never tell us that they did wrong, and they'll never actually make up for it, but they'll do a whole lot of posturing to act like they did.
I mean, you know, like, you never actually get the answer you want, but you're still going to fucking ask for it, because you know you'll get everything else around that you need.
Yeah, right. Like, you'll give me enough to know the answer. You'll
be like, I know you know, and I'm fine with it. You know, So what have you seen recently, like, the, as far as, you know, because a lot of yours is marketing,
yep,
and things like that. So what have you seen from that level, from like a legislation straight to, you know, to the dispensaries, you know, the companies, the state in Florida? I know Florida is a little different the way everything is run. But in your opinion, how do you see everything the way it's going now, especially with the pandemic and things like that?
So I think we've had an interesting opportunity as an industry to gain momentum. Like, I just saw a recent study where they said 40% of people who would have been heavy drinkers throughout the pandemic have chosen to start becoming cannabis users during that time. Legally or illegally, doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
still, people are choosing pot over drinking.
Right. And that's the core value.
That's dope, right?
Yeah.
The other side of that, though, is that people are choosing pot in a different way than the company selling it think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like, we have all of these brands coming out with all of these things that they think people care about, but it's almost like they're just pitching it out into the wind and hoping for it.
Right. Like, I've never met anybody that actually uses a suppository.
Who?
I mean, I'm sure in Florida, it's a lot bigger,
maybe,
but it's not.
You're probably right, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've heard stories. Right. well, yeah. I know that Florida's big with Move, and then they've got the inhalers, and that's a huge thing, but like, that's not a thing out here.
Yo, I'm a fan of that. I'll be real
awesome
with the world. The Move, like asthma inhaler style inhalers are the greatest thing to ever happen. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to Disney World in the history of my existence. Like, straight up, man. Because
nobody's gonna fucking say that. Nobody's gonna be like, "Hey, dude, what the fuck is that inhaler?"
Bingo. Disney's borderline Nazi Germany as far as getting things in and sneaking things through, especially in the era of COVID. I just went for the first time since COVID happened,
and like cavity searches.
Yeah, like, it's borderline. They see
one wrong sneeze, and there you go.
They see an inhaler and don't think twice. And those inhalers are not weak. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, they're like, not.
They're basically on point with like a distillate pen as far as like
it's like aerosol RSO. Yeah.
Bro, it's hard. And you can just like anywhere you want. And nobody says anything. They're like, oh, he has asthma. Like, yeah.
Dude, I don't give a shit yet.
Yeah.
Fucking asthma, man. You know?
Bro, I think to me, that is an underutilized, undermarketed, neat intake method. Mm-hmm. They're like, fuck yeah, bro. Anywhere. You can take
That's the wonder, the great thing about cannabis is, yes, like I smoke because I like to get high. It just also happens to have amazing medicinal benefits, you know? And then there are people the other way around. They're like, you know, I smoke because I need this or I want this. And yeah, I like to get high sometimes. And that's the perfect thing with the inhaler because, yes, it fills the need of, you know, I'm going to go to this fucking soul-sucking institution of cookie-cut cotton candy bullshit. And I want to, you know, I don't want to vape because that shit's everywhere and everybody's looking for that stuff now. So yeah, like that covers the stoner's needs. And then it's got the patient needs because my ex-wife had massive asthma. She also had endometriosis and a lot of other things. So like the tinctures were great, but we got her that inhaler and that opened up a whole new world of, you know, of medication for her.
Well, there's like,
and there's a big market for it.
If you're a medical user, there are two different kinds of products, quick acting, short time span. So that, you know, your vape pens, your inhalers, that's for like right the fuck now. Mm-hmm. I'm having a panic attack. I'm having an asthma attack.
Some shit that's
happening right now. I need it fixed right now. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other side, like the chronic pains and things. That's the edibles, the tinctures, the things.
The regular treatments. The
take
stuff
a little bit
system.
Fucking longer to hit, but they last a lot longer. And I think those kind of, you know, like you kind of touched on it, those can be used in a recreational sense, like you could use them to get around Disney security or they could be a legitimate medical need.
Right.
And I think a lot of people probably don't even realize that. Like they still think, you know, like they know vape pen and bowl.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a million other ways to intake this stuff. Suppositories, right. Lotions, patches, not that the patch gets you stoned, but like,
it definitely works for what it needs. Like for what it needs, you know, what you need it for. And yeah, like there's, and that's the wonderful thing I tell everybody, it's the similar differences and the different similarities. Like I was teaching somebody how to do, you know, how to make butter. And I'm like, if you want to then take this and you want to put like an RSO or you take your extraction and you put it in coconut oil, not only can you use that as an edible, but now that becomes a topical, you know, it's the exact same thing.
I've got big jars of it. I use my already been vaped. So I have like a volcano for my smoking, like, you know, mm-hmm. especially COVID safe. So if you have a friend or two over, you each get your own bag. I'm a fan. The volcano has been the best, but I use all the already been vaped, the leftover shit that you can't use anymore. And I make topicals out of that with a little bit of coconut oil, mash it up, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
it's
zero waste.
Like, it's meant to be consumed in some way. Like our brains are hardwired to receive it. And the plant itself, no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, your climate, your atmosphere, your time, indoors, outdoors. Like I've seen people have successful fucking harvests in a hollowed out computer tower. You know, like it's going to grow and we're going to consume it. You know, like, so why not just open up to, I mean, even with like the concentrates and the dabs and shit that we have now, like there's shatter and batter and butter and sugar and resin and rosin and hash. And there's a million different kinds of hash. Like I just had a guest on the other show, the Frenchie Cannoli. We learned about, like, you know, the hash that he's doing and all his shit. Like there's so many things that you can do with this. And I think a lot of it is it's that dying, you know, the dying breath of the adversary, because all they had was propaganda. All they had was the word. So they had to use ignorance and they had to use, you know, the spoken word and use this whole just big, massive story about everything. So that's our last fight is to get people to know, like, this is this and it's also this, and you can do this, and it's not just one high feeling. Like if you dab something or you smoke something, it's completely different and it does a different effect, you know, not just on your brain but on your
body.
There's
a lot of fucking science going down in the weed world. There always has been, like,
right.
I always think of like the Dennis Leary skit where he's like, all you got to do is get high and then you'll become a carpenter. Like, I'm driving a bong on wheels, like, you know, like, and you can go all the way back to, like, you know, everybody's poked holes in a Coke can and made a bowl, like, or everybody's made an apple, or, you know, something like that. Like, we're seeing
everybody's MacGyver smokered something.
Yeah, we're seeing that now with like real fucking scientists and like real
funding
and like money behind it. And, like, you know, like, let's give some really smart stoners a couple of months and a laboratory and see what they come out with. And people are consistently innovating. Like, you know, we've gone from the butane era to the ethanol era of extraction to now we're going into like crazy co-solvents, flash chromatography, like wild, like crazy scientific shit where you're like, stoners know those words? Bro, not only do stoners know those words, stoners are killing it.
Right. Like, and it's that thing. It's because it's, you know, it's, and that's what it was, because for so many years, stoner was a bad thing. For so many years, like, they're just sitting on the couch, or those stupid thoughts or the philosophical impossibilities. Be like, no, look at Star Trek, the original series, Gene Roddenberry, his communicator inspired the fucking cell phone, you know, like that was just one of those out there thoughts. And now that everything is like, oh, well, this thing is legitimate and it has a value and a purpose. So why don't we, you know, listen? And that's what it is. It's the same crazy philosophical couch locked stoner thoughts that we've been thinking for years, that everybody's been thinking, that has pushed the innovation, you know, to like, oh, shit, dude, I can't smoke here. But, oh, I don't want to, you know, let's put some dryer sheets into a fucking paper towel tube and breathe into that, you know, so we don't get caught. You know, it's that innovation. But now we have, you know, we don't have to hide it.
The mainstream has been affected by stoner culture for longer than they'd like to admit. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me half of the ideas that we see on the Home Shopping Network that make millions wasn't some stoned entrepreneur on a weekend away with the family? And he went, oh, holy shit.
A bejeweled duck.
Bro, like, real talk. Like, Elon Musk smokes. You don't think Mark Zuckerberg had a couple of
his eyes are permanently
college?
Bloodshot. Like, look at him. He looks like a shaved field mouse stoned out of his mind.
Bingo. Just saying. Stoners are doing big stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, and that's what it is. It's because somebody somewhere at some point said it was bad. And the longer, and it's not necessarily right or wrong. It's about who barks the loudest. I mean, you know what it is. You run into it. You have this tiny, unassuming motherfucker who just knife hands and cuts your soul in half and his fucking veins popping out of his neck, screaming and yelling and barking. And you do what the fuck you're told. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. This guy fits in your pocket. And he could still whoop your ass 7 ways from Sunday.
Right. Yeah, I'll pack a lunch. I will whoop your ass all day.
Like, I'm going to lose fucking boots. I'm going to have to go to fucking Supply. Get more boots I'm going to lose in your fucking ass. You know, like, and it's one of those things. So it doesn't matter. You know, and especially nowadays, it's not what you're selling. It's how you sell it. You know, because you can go anywhere and get it. So why get it from here, or why do this? And it's the way it is with the Latin. Like, and unfortunately, we have to literally let that old worldview die out. There are a few people left who are still preaching that at a larger scale, and we just literally have to wait for them to die out.
We're watching it die out as we go, not just from people dying off, but like individual successful stoners are changing people's minds mm-hmm. every fucking day.
Right.
Like, here's a really interesting one. I have a family member who is a regular smoker and also a legal medical patient, totally non-functional human being. I, on the other hand, wake up every day at like 6 o'clock. I'm like hyper functional human being, right. Constantly stoned, like
high functioning,
100% of the time. If mm-hmm. anyone in the last 5 years has met me, I was stoned. Like, I was rather stoned.
Right. And I mean, like, if you can do it, yes.
I catch another family member saying things about, you know, lazy stoners and this and that and the other, and then he'll always look at me and say, but not you. I don't mean stoners like you. And I have to remind him, I'm like, lazy people exist with or without weed
everywhere.
Very productive people exist with or without weed, and I could personally probably argue that I am more functional stoned than not. I don't know if that's like a veteran thing or if that's a me thing.
I think it may be, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's like if you can, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's like the mindset, you know, hope for the best, expect the worst, you know, but it's that mindset because you have experienced the worst. Cause at any moment, like, you know, that shit can just flip upside down and it can be the craziest, whatever. And you've got to get through it no matter what it is. If it's in country, it's in the rear. Like, if it's just somebody coming and busting in fucking Thursday night on a field day, flipping your shit over, you know, or it's, you know, you take contact.
I think those things make us as veterans better prepared for the cannabis industry,
more appreciative of life
whole.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's specifically for cannabis. interest too. So like I have this whole theory where I think the chaos of combat translates to the chaos of cannabis very well. And I like alliteration if you can't tell. I have a theory on that. You know what I mean? And I'll be that contrarian of the veteran cannabis community. I'm real over our peers going up and crying on stage. I'm real over the sob stories. I was on this many medications and it's changed my life. Shut up. We get it. I'm with you, bro. Me too. Like I was on 9, right. I'm on 0 now. Like cool, high five. Keep it fucking moving. I'd much rather talk about the successes we're all having in this space at every level. Because I know veterans that are everything from a trimmer to a CEO and every fucking spot in between. And one day, this is my personal life goal, is to take one or two other veterans, throw us in a van, and drive around the country interviewing other veterans at every level. Talk to me, trimmer. Talk to me, Coast Guard veteran that's a CFO. Talk to me, Marine Corps veteran that's a CEO. Come here, Army guy that's, you know, a processing engineer now. Come here.
Corpsman that's now, you know, physician, you know, or medical doc.
To us in a totally different light, not about how it's changing our life as a plant. I think we all got that part down.
Right, yeah.
Like, and I'm not against it, but I'm adamantly and very viciously aware of the fact that we are one of the little pieces of the puzzle that they're putting out front on purpose for legalization.
It's like origin stories. We're done with origin stories. Like I want to see them fight crime. Like I'm fucking done with knowing how they got there. Let's team the fuck up and let's go fight some fucking evil. Like yeah,
bingo.
Like
if we as an industry are gonna play the legalize it for veterans, they deserve it because nobody can talk.
We're
shit
in phase
on them
two now.
Card. Yeah, we're in phase two. How about you talk about the fact that not making it legal is keeping food out of those veterans' mouths? How about we talk about the fact that we have veterans who, we need it for medicine, but we're also killing it as an industry. And if you really want to not
hurt biggest
veterans,
companies are vet-owned.
Support us.
Right.
Help us run businesses. Help us do these things. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's just one of those things where, like, I think we are uniquely suited as a subclass of citizen to succeed in all of the additional bullshit the cannabis industry has.
Well, it's because this whole industry doesn't really have a broad structure. And you can take any veteran from any branch in any year and put them all in a room together. And by the end of the day, they're all going to be fucking in step. You know, like
we'll
physically or not, like, you know, like you've seen it. Like if you get back with some of your guys or whatever, met them or not, like you guys are walking down the street within 5 to 10 steps. You guys are on the same fucking foot. You know,
you've already
it's just
assessed
the way it is.
A hierarchy. Everybody knows which role you fill in the group. Everybody's assessed their purpose, and there is no more need for like feather fluffing or any of that. It's just
right. Like
that's
there's
how
already
we function.
A set of rules and a set of structures so that we can do our jobs. Like that's why they drill that shit into your head, and that's why they call it that. Is so you can get the physical movements, the stuff in between the thought out of the fucking way, and just do what you're supposed to do and go on. But I think totally. Oh, no, because I had a few guys from my unit on some of my earlier episodes, and we were talking, and honestly, because the federal government and the military just let active duty members use CBD, like that's a thing now. So imagine if the VA, this autonomous, voluntold organization that is totally understaffed and underfunded, imagine if the VA started using some of the homeless veterans or the veterans that it's got in the facilities that it has, they start growing cannabis. They start growing hemp, not even cannabis, just hemp, CBD. That replaces medicines, that replaces, you know, like now you've got building structures, you've got jobs, you've got food, you've got like with hemp alone, the VA could become a totally self-sustaining organization just within using the problems that it has.
There are already
building blocks.
Concepts for that too. Like there are two organizations that I can think of off the top of my head that are literally live in rehabilitation center type situations for veterans where they put them to work on a hemp farm and they teach them how to do it as a business means, you know what I mean? Like run by a veteran, come live amongst other veterans in hemp made tiny houses and grow hemp to build a sustainable.
Right.
There are proof of those things are happening on a small scale. These guys could be doing it tomorrow.
Right. And then within the year, totally self-sustaining and autonomous from any sort of organization that inflicts rules upon something without giving any sort of support.
Yeah. Yeah. And all you have to do is let veterans go free. We'll build a structure. Right? Just leave us alone for a little bit.
And that's the one thing that I found is fairly difficult. Like, everybody's like, what do you want to do? What's the specific? What are you focusing on? Like, I don't fucking care. Just give me a job and I'll do it. Like, I'll do from within side, but adapt and overcome, you know, like, I hear that in my head all the time. Like, I don't fucking care what you want me to do. I'll do it. And then I'll do what I want to do while, you know, like, once I've got your shit done, I'm going to do what I want to do. But like, it's the what the job is doesn't necessarily matter. It's, you know, just doing the job. Like, it's got to get done. I'm going to fucking do it anyway.
Yeah, it's a willingness to put in the work. It's a willingness to adapt to anything at any point. Because, like, especially for Marines, it's like, you know, we're all trained for desert, but we're also having to be amphibious. But we also have to worry about jungle, or we also have to do. It's like, this is normal for me that I have to think about four different things at once, doing five different. Okay, cool. Sounds like Tuesday.
Right. Like, hurry up and wait. I'll be there 15 minutes early. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, right? Like, I'll be in the Zoom meeting before you even get here. Don't worry.
Right? Like, sometimes I find myself just sitting there just like, sketching on stuff, checking the angles, you know? I'm just, it's
turning
it's
on a light
different.
And turning it off for lighting. I'm like,
Right, getting the blinds just right. Yeah. So what's the one thing that, while, you know, that you've seen that just irks the shit out of you? Just kind of like on a day-to-day basis. Like, not large scale, just in your area of the industry, in the marketing, in, you know, working with, you know, legislation and on the board and things like that. Like, what's the one thing that you're just like, fucking stop?
To be honest, I think the thing that bothers me the most are the people who talk like no one can see what's happening in the background. I think there are a lot of advocacy organizations that carry a lot of good name. Mm-hmm. That if you actually looked at what they're doing, not what they say they're doing, it's not the same. I think the same thing applies for a lot of these multi-state operators. I think a lot of it applies for a large chunk of what is or is not, you know, corporate cannabis. It's a whole lot of, if you only read the headlines, you think they're doing these grand, amazing things. But if you actually listened to the subtext, or you dug into the details a little bit, you go, wait a minute here.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to name any specific names, but there's a certain Florida operator whose CEO is all over MSNBC, CNN, The Motley Fool. You know, they get press coverage as the greatest stock buy of the century, blah, 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 blah. Right. Yeah. Like, but that same CEO's spouse is up on FBI charges for corruption. That same company has had allegations that their original application was faulty. That same company has illegally hired influencer marketers and been in massive hot water for it. That same company. And so, like, and I think that goes a lot of the ways. It's the same thing with, like, ballot initiatives. You can see it. There will be two or three ballot initiatives to try to quote unquote legalize in a given state. Mm-hmm. And the one that's always backed by the corporate guys sounds good, but it's actually just a blocker initiative to prevent a good one. Oh,
that blatant fucking one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that
milk was the worst goddamn thing I had ever heard in my, like, that was so
I would like to this day debate John Morgan over his tweet about growing at home anyways. Because to me, that was the most blatant disregard for legal advice I've ever seen. But that kind of goes for all of it. You have national advocacy organizations who team up with educational institutions to charge for advocacy certificates. That's gross.
I think a lot of it is because, like, they then fall back on the justification. Oh, well, you know, the black market and this has been legal. Yeah. We understand that. That's what happened. Whatever. We were illegal because we were illegal for whatever fucking reasons. But that doesn't mean that now we're trying to legitimize ourselves, that you guys can continue to do the shitty fucking practices. Like, there's been a few places here that I've just had to fucking stop dealing with the guys, because it's like, well, he's like, I've been doing this for 30, 40 years. But, like, yeah, dude, you've been selling fucking Zips on your couch for however long. Like, that's not what this shit is anymore. Like, it's not some backroom deal.
Consumer packaged goods, man.
Yeah, like you're just a fucking drug dealer. Like, that's all you are. Like, that's not what, you know, what we're trying to do. So a lot of it, especially at that grand level, they're like, oh, you guys are just fucking drug dealers. And what does it matter? It's like, no, like, at least be an established organization like the rest of them for a couple of decades before you come out with these crazy fucking scandals. I mean, like, let's actually be, you know, like, legal everywhere before you start doing these massive fucking, you know, insane industrial or whatever bullshit fucking. It's just like baby steps, like walk before you can be federally indicted.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I think that's another one that irritates me. If I had to pick a second one, it is the lack of clear language mm-hmm. on a lot of things. Decriminalization, descheduling, legalization are not the same thing.
No.
Those are not interchangeable. Broad spectrum and full spectrum, not interchangeable. THC free, THC compliant, THC remediated, not the same fucking thing.
Right.
Yet a lot of these terms, and there's probably a list of like 15 more that you could come up with, people use them like they mean the same stuff. And that
right.
irritates the bejeebus out of me.
That level is everywhere. Like I've been working, you know, behind the counter at different places, and people are like, hey man, you got any dabs? Be like, no, but you can do a dab. I've got shatter that you can dab. You know, so that's like a Q-tip and a, you know, a Kleenex thing. It's people are using
that
one word
gets me too.
So much. Yeah.
There is no shatter in Florida. Shatter is created with butane. Florida mm-hmm. has no butane. You have pull and snap that you're selling as shatter. Be adults. Call it what it is. I called out the CEO of Trulieve once for selling RSO. You cannot make RSO with the currently legal extraction methods in Florida. How are you making this?
RSO is one of those subjects that, like, no matter where you're going to go, no matter where you go, you're going to have problems. Like in Washington, as long as it's been, or in California, as long as it's been, now, it, you know, they've got the standards and practices and everything is done the way it's done. But now it's like, should we give this away? Should we charge? I know places that are advocating, you know, for like here we've got penny RSO, but then here you've got the problem with it's a single purge. So RSO, you get about 90, like you can get about 97, 94, 95%, you know, with a full purge, then a second purge, some water, you know, you clear everything off. Here it's like 40%, 57%. Right. And like you open the container and the little push at the end of the syringe has popped open because the alcohol that's still in there hasn't been purged and it's created pressure and popped the thing off. You know, like I've seen 47% RSO in a syringe here and I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Take an extra hour, lower the heat. You know, yes, you're going to lose 30% of your product, but you get 60 grams off of a pound of flour. Of a decent RSO, and it's 97%.
That's what they'll say. They'll say, but the margins. We need
so instead of selling it for fucking $20, you can sell it for $40, $50, and you know, you've got another 50% on your, you know, you teach, not to mention the turf level and shit.
People, take some time. It's right? medicine.
There's definitely a big boom. So on the other side of that, though, like what's the one thing that you just... it's like a sparkle in your mind. It's what every now and then it keeps you going, and you just kind of look to yourself and pause everything and go, I get to fucking do this. Like what is that thought?
A, I get to talk about weed all day.
Right.
And will somewhat give a shit what I have to say most of the time. So like, I am grateful that I have found myself in a position with enough attention in the industry to play Chicken Little. And I'm okay with that. And I think the other side of that is we're seeing the greatest influx of talent into an industry ever, full stop. Because cannabis touches such a broad range of stuff. It's a consumer packaged good. It's a pharmaceutical. It's a medicine. It's a nutraceutical. It's a food.
Right.
It's a retail situation. It's a delivery situation. We are seeing people from more industries with real fucking experience and expertise in a very specific niche, bring those skills into this industry at an alarmingly good rate. Uh-oh. Can you hear my dogs barking?
Yes.
Pause.
Literally. But yeah, so I definitely, I agree. Like there's a lot of things like the Emerge conference. I mean, it was one of the coolest things that I've ever seen. Have you been to that one?
No, I saw it happening. I just have not had time. I know it's like they're doing the virtual digital event deal and a bunch of brands.
It was interesting because it kind of brought it on a level scale. Like you saw all aspects of it. It wasn't just the marketing and the business. You know, there was the culture side and the art side. There was the music and entertainment things. So but I think a lot of that's, you know, the necessity of the pandemic and things like that. But yeah, definitely. Like I think it's everybody's that has been waiting for it, you know, inside the industry or that has been doing this stuff, you know, on their own. Now that they've got permission, as it were, like it's just, you know, let your freak flag fly, just be the fuck out and, you know, do what you want to do. And then, yeah, there are the other industries. Cause I had a guest on as a pharmacist and he's like, you know, I work at a hospital, but I also work, you know, for, I'm not going to say who, but it's one of the largest ones. And while they do drug tests and they do have policies against it, that having been said, where it be, you know, as soon as it's legalized, they're ready products on the shelf.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, we all need to look at it like that. And some of the established businesses, you know, have been looking at it like they're ready, you know, Crest and Colgate and shit like that are experimenting with CBD products and stuff. So
PBR,
it's like,
just put out a fucking THC seltzer. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Yeah. The drinks are exciting. I'm really excited for that. There's some like old pals got some interesting stuff that they're doing.
Mike Tyson, 3D printed THC drinks.
Right? That's
different level.
Fucking Mike Tyson, man.
Living in 3020, man.
Right? Like this is some carrots have taken over the universe shit, man. So that being said, what is something that you want to see in the near future that like you see could have the potential, you know, but you want, you know, you want to happen or you want to see happen within the next, say, 5 years, because everything's kind of blowing up?
Two things. One, I want to see the ability to interstate travel. Even if we don't get federal legalization, I would like to see something like the States Can't Wait Alliance for Sensible Markets idea, right, where states can sign interstate compacts to route around the federal government, so that either way we end up with the ability of, like, if I'm flying from legal state to legal state,
like reciprocity.
Yeah. Like, why do I have to give that up? Right. I think a sideline to that is I'd like to see more states incorporate medical programs with gun protections like Florida has, because especially, you know, the veteran community, most of us like our guns and our weed and our freedom in general, and I think that's been a large falsehood that every state, you know, medical card means no guns. It's not true. So I'd like to see A, that be more prevalent, and B, that be true in more states. And then I think finally, if I had to ask to see one thing, I would like to see a healthy craft market grown. I would like to see the little guys stand up together a little bit more and realize that, like, you know, in a vast network of sharks and minnows, the minnows can do something together if they really put their minds to it.
Right. Like, get back to the collective, the cooperative feel that, you know, that kind of brought the industry. I was just talking to somebody about that, and it is, it's like it is out here, because we've got so many license holders and we've got some big names, you know, like Cookies just moved in OKC and they're coming in, you know, like Cureleaf has been here. We've got huge. And like, I would rather, you know, have 1,000 allies against a giant than have to fight that giant and worry about my neighbor in my backyard. Like literally, you know, a stone's throw away from where I'm at. There's so many here. So I think that that's because everything was so big and was so grandized and was so, you know, there's all this pomp and fanfare to push it, and that's great. And it got where it needed to be. But now we have to realize where we came from. And the more we fight with ourselves and the people who can fight, the less, you know, opportunities we're going to have, and the faster, you know, burning the candle at both ends type deal.
Very much so. Yeah.
Well, this has been absolutely wonderful. I enjoyed having you on. And you have is there anything you want to add? You got something coming up, or you want something, just something you want people to know, you know, going forward?
I will be making some announcements about a company coming up in the very near future. We've got some interesting ideas, and it might be a little disruptive to the way people are transplanting into cannabis. So we'll have to keep that one on the back burner for a little bit. Nice. But people should be looking out for some interesting changes coming in my world.
Awesome. Awesome. Definitely. Thank you for being on. I appreciate everything. I always love, you know, hearing everybody's story regardless. And thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned to all of the amazing podcasts on the MJ Bull lineup. And once again, guys, thank you for everything. We do this because of you. Tune in, toke up, and think. Chronic Insomnia.